Welcome to the Center Branch Church Weekly Podcast. We believe that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Thanks so much for checking out the podcast. Here's this week's message.
Now, today I want to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And really, again, the way the Holy Spirit has built this series and the way that he's been leading us, it's great to have talked about learning to be led by the Holy Spirit, to be sensitive to his voice, as we take another step and talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because I've known some pastors who have forbidden the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in their church because they've seen abuses, and there have been abuses, and where people can get off and people don't know how to respond, don't know how to operate. But once you know how to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit for yourself, it really creates like an environment of safety, that there's some margin to take steps of faith and even make mistakes and not wreck someone's life, right? If you know how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, you know that inner witness for yourself, and someone gives you a word, well, it's the same Holy Spirit that's on the inside of you that's giving that word of instruction, of prophecy, or whatever else. And so just like you've become sensitive to that inner witness, that inner nodding yes or nodding no, that's not right, well, that eliminates, you know, if I said, Pastor David, I've got a word for you, the Lord would say, You're supposed to move to Idaho, and you're supposed to start farming potatoes. That's what God would say to you. You know, he's got the Holy Spirit. He doesn't have to just drink that in and call his wife and say, well, put the house up for sale. We better start learning how to farm potatoes, because he doesn't just have to accept that. He can judge that on the inside, which is what we're supposed to do. And if there's I don't know, that doesn't bear witness with my spirit, then I haven't just derailed his life and sent him off to farm potatoes someplace because he received a word from God. Are you with me? Right? He has that inner mm-hmm. And he can say, hey, Pastor, I appreciate your heart. Thank you so much for attempting to minister to me. But, you know, it was nice that just didn't bear witness. So, you know, we'll just kind of see where that goes. So learning to know the voice of the Holy Spirit for yourself makes it so operating in the gifts of the Spirit as a church family doesn't become detrimental. You with me? So I want to talk about that from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Before we do that, you know, some people come from different backgrounds, have heard different things, have been taught different things about even like baptism in the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues, certainly including the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that those are no longer for today. That's not a thing anymore. That's not really available. So I just want to give a couple of passages, and we could look at more if we had time, just to show that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are very much for today, that God wants you. The Bible says that each one of us has a gift from the Holy Spirit, special abilities. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, whether you realize it or not, we want to realize it today, you have a special ability, a gift from the Holy Spirit that he wants operating in your life. So I just want to give a couple passages for those that have maybe been told or just in their minds thought that it's no longer for today. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 8. And this is a favorite passage for people that argue against speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8 says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. So they will say, hey, you know, the Bible says prophecies fail, tongues will cease. And so they will build a case on that. Hey, the Bible says tongues will cease, and then say that was just for the early church. It was just for the apostles, just for that first group to kind of get the ball rolling, and tongues have ceased. Prophecies are no longer for today, and make that kind of argument from this passage of scripture, which it does say tongues will cease. That is valid. It's just an issue of timing when that will happen, right? And if you continue to read, it says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. So there's a now and then kind of timing that's going on. The then, talking about when tongues cease, the gifts of the Spirit are no longer in operation, a now and then. And regarding now, he says, now I know in part. How many people know in part? You know some things. I know a couple things. I got a couple things rolling around in this head of mine. I know a couple. You probably know a couple. But I don't know everything. Well, I've got some measure of light. I can see some things. But like he said, I see through a mirror dimly. But then I'm going to see Jesus face to face. I've got some revelation of Jesus, and I'm thankful for that, but not like I'm going to have someday. So when it comes to now and then, people will say when the perfect has come, it's when the Bible comes. Thank God for his word. But he's pointing to a time that's yet to come when we stand and we know him perfectly. We see him face to face. There's no more knowing in part. Even the Apostle Paul, he talked about knowing in part. You and I know in part. But then all of that will be removed, and we won't need these special abilities, but as for now, we do, and thank God that we have them. And so don't allow arguments like that to keep you from engaging and believing and allowing the Holy Spirit to function in your life. Let me give you one more example. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 4. He says, I thank my God always concerning you, for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's opening this letter. Thank God for you. Thank God that you come short in no gift while you wait for Jesus. So from that, you can understand that the gifts of the Spirit are to help us as we await the return of Jesus. He wasn't saying, hey, you guys are enjoying, you come short and no gift, but don't get used to it because those things are going to go away and there's going to be a really long gap between the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the moving of the Holy Spirit, and the return of Jesus. He said, I'm thankful you come short and no gift. As you're waiting, it'll take you right up to the day of his return. So just a couple quick proofs that these things are very valid in our lives today. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll work our way through a few of these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. When it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, and remember, this isn't just the Apostle Paul writing. All Scripture is God-breathed. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. So ultimately, this is the Holy Spirit speaking to us, saying, I don't want you to be ignorant about the gifts that I've given you. The New Living says the special abilities given to us by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't want you to be ignorant about the gifts that he has placed in your life, which you could also use this as another argument to show that they are for day. Today, why take time to teach them if it wasn't going to be valid in their lives? Why take time to say, I don't want you to be ignorant? He'd say, you know what, just go ahead and be ignorant because the gifts aren't going to be around for long. You're not going to have to worry about those. But instead, he said, no, let's get rid of ignorance. And that's what we're working on doing today, amen? Because a lot of the church is ignorant, not necessarily our church, but a lot of the church at large is ignorant concerning the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we've talked about that as a strategy of the enemy before. Let's continue reading. Verse 2. It says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. You know, it's interesting that even as he's talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the role of the Holy Spirit, you see each member of the Trinity at work. This isn't just some side Holy Spirit issue, that the Holy Spirit is God. Yes. Three in one, one in three, They're one, but they're three, the mystery of the Trinity. And even when we're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there's an acknowledgement of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Even as we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different ministries, but the same Lord, Jesus our Lord. There's different activities, but the same God, God the Father. So there's a reference even to the Trinity as we're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. He's going to give us nine, not necessarily a complete list. There's other passages that have lists of spirits or gifts that the God works in our lives. He's going to give us nine. There's different gifts, different things that the Holy Spirit does in people's lives, different ways that he uses us, but it's the same Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. There's different administrations, or the next verse says activities, but it's the same Lord. It's the same God. That means that you can have people with the same gift operating in their life, but it doesn't have to look exactly the same. That two people can have a gift of healing that they operate in, but they operate that gift very differently. That the way that it manifests, that the way that it is played out, or the way that people give a word of prophecy or a word of knowledge, it's the same gift. But it might look different in the way that it is administered. So he says there are different ministries. Yes. So one understanding of that is the way that it is administered. Another understanding is that he's referring to the gifts, the ministry offices mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4. So we'll just kind of contrast them a little bit just for clarity, just to make things clear, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we're about to talk about are different than the gifts mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4. In fact, I'll read it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ." So there he's talking about gifts and mentions apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, that they are a gift to the church, but they are different from the gifts of the Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. When it comes to ministry gifts, the person is the gift. The person is the gift. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, teacher, they are the gift. Like the apostle Paul was a gift to the Gentiles. Yes. Now, when you talk about somebody being a gift from God, it has a connotation of arrogance and pride. You know, that person thinks they're a gift from God. That's separate. That's just what we've attached to it and people's own arrogance. This doesn't mean that they're flawless. It doesn't mean that they're perfect. It doesn't give them license to be arrogant or proud. But the person is a gift. The gifts of the Spirit, it's not the person is a gift. The person is given a gift by which they can minister to other people. Right? And I'm not trying to, there's not a hierarchy. I'm not trying to belittle one over the other. I'm trying to differentiate and clarify the difference between the two. When it's a ministry office, typically, that gift, like a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, that it's a life work. Yes, yes. That a person, they're an evangelist. That's who they are. That's what they do. They've dedicated their life to being an evangelist. They've dedicated their life to being a pastor, an apostle, whatever it is. It's their life work. When it's the gift of the Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it can just be a momentary flashing forth. A gift manifests in their life. They could be own a car dealership. And they're a godly businessman, but sometimes they have a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, or they have a prophecy for somebody, and they give that prophecy. It's a flashing forth of the gift of the Spirit, and then they go back to running their car lot or whatever. Does it make sense? So there's a difference between the ministry gifts in Ephesians chapter 4, where it's a life call, the person is the gift, versus the gifts that we're talking about here. Verse 7. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." A manifestation, a flashing forth of a gift of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. This might not be a perfect analogy. This is kind of the way that I think about it in my mind. You know, when the storm clouds roll in, they have an electronic charge to them, right? And you can get into the electrons and all that's going on inside the ice particles and everything that's causing this to happen inside of the cloud. But that cloud has a charge to it. There's an electronic charge to that cloud. But then sometimes the circumstances and things kind of line up, and there's the opportunity for that charge to flash forth. And you see lightning come shooting out of it because there's, you know, something that's conductive or whatever. That's where I lose anything I actually know about this subject. There's a flashing forth of the lightning, right? And then it stops. It doesn't mean that it has no more charge. There's just a moment where that charge manifests, shows itself forth. And so that's one of the ways you can think about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You've got that charge, but sometimes circumstances are aligned, the moving of the Spirit, where it manifests in a certain way. It's like lightning striking that God wants to use you in a particular way. And he says here, it's given to each one. That means each person, every one of us, everyone has a gift of the Holy Spirit, which also means there's no room for pride. There's no room for pride because one, it's a gift. You didn't do anything to earn it. It's a gift. And you know what? We all have one too. So there's no hierarchy. There's no spiritual, you know, ranking system. Every person, all of us in the body of Christ, we have a gift from the Holy Spirit that he wants us to operate in. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are different from the fruit of the Holy Spirit. A gift is given, fruit is cultivated. Fruit is grown in a person's life. I heard someone just explain it like this. I think it was Derek Prince explained it like this, that it's the gifts of the Spirit are like ornaments that you can hang on a tree, decorate, you can just give it, but fruit is grown from the tree. And so God can give a gift. You know, God can use people in all kinds of varieties. God used a donkey to speak to Balaam, just to give a word of prophecy, a word of instruction. So it doesn't necessarily reveal a whole lot about the person giving the word or being used, but fruit does. Fruit does. By your fruit, you'll know what kind of person that you're dealing with. So it's different than the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now let's read these next few verses where he lists 9 different gifts of the Holy Spirit. Verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So I want to give you just a very simple definition of these different gifts that he lists there. This is not going to be an exhaustive teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then give a little instruction on ways that we can begin to operate in our lives or increase the operation of the moving of God's Spirit in our lives as individuals and as a church family. So the first one that he mentions there is a word of wisdom, a word of wisdom, followed by a word of knowledge. And these two are similar to natural knowledge and wisdom, and that wisdom is, you know what to do about something, you have insight, here's how we should handle this, here's what I think is gonna happen. Knowledge is just, you've got a knowing of facts, except it is supernatural in nature, that God has revealed something to you, that you have wisdom that you didn't acquire by your own mindset. And all of these are supernatural gifts, right? This is why I don't like tests that people test for your spirit. Like, take this little quiz for your spiritual gifts, because that's more of a personality test. Yeah, right. Oh, you're really outgoing. You like to tell people how it is. Well, you must have the gift of prophecy. Well, maybe, maybe not, because it's supernatural in nature. The Holy Spirit distributes as he wills. So if he wants you to operate in that, then you can operate in that. But it's not just a person that, oh, you're kind of timid and quiet. Well, you must have the gift of encouragement. And you know, that's more of a personality. These are not natural giftings. This is supernatural. So the person with a word of knowledge, they operate in that. It's not through study. It's not because they've read a lot of books and they know a lot of things. It's a supernatural knowing. They know something only through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of healing, that's not people that are in the medical industry, nurses and doctors. Thank God for godly nurses and doctors. We're thankful for them. But this is something different. Because some will kind of boil this down just kind of to natural things and more of a personality type thing. This is different. This is the gifts of the Holy Spirit working in people's lives. So the word of knowledge is supernatural revelation to know something you otherwise wouldn't know about what's going to happen, how to solve a problem, those kinds of things. Like Daniel, it says in the book of Daniel that even heathens recognize that the Spirit of God operates in this man's life, and he's able to solve difficult problems by that Spirit. He had wisdom operating in his life. Paul, on the ship in Acts chapter 27, on their way to Rome, that God revealed to him, here's what's going to happen. Here's how this thing is going to play out. Here's what we need to do about it moving forward. It was wisdom from God operating in his life. Joseph, when he interpreted dreams and knew, okay, here's what we ought to do about this famine, this years of abundance, followed by 7 years of famine. It was supernatural from God operating in his life. Word of knowledge, again, supernatural revelation, things you otherwise wouldn't know. That you can look at somebody, and just like I look at Pastor David, I know his name's Pastor David, you can look at somebody, you have no basis for knowing something, you just know. I know he's dealing with this situation. I know this just happened. You just have a knowing that comes from the Holy Spirit. Now, these gifts aren't just like to show off how spiritual we are. They're to build, to profit. In John chapter 1, Jesus, when he's dealing with Nathanael, came to him and said, oh, here's a true Israelite, a man of no guile. He said, how did you know that? How did you know? How did you have that knowledge? I saw you when you were under the fig tree. And it says that he believed. He said, oh, you believe? You believe just because I know that you were sitting under a fig tree, you're going to see things beyond this. But it was a word. He had a word of knowledge that it didn't just dazzle Nathanael. It caused him to believe in Jesus. So word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Gift of faith, supernatural ability to believe God. Beyond reason, a removal of doubt. Now, it's different than the faith that we have, saving faith in Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus, we all have a level of faith. It's different than the faith you build from studying God's word and hiding it in your heart. It's an infusion, an impartation of God's faith. We hear people that operate in the gift of faith, it feels like a supernatural superhero. There's zero doubt, just a certainty in the things of the Spirit. When people raise people from the dead or some of these impressive miracles, people take incredible steps in faith. Often it's the gift of faith that all human reasoning and doubt and all that is just eliminated, a flashing forth of this manifestation of faith. The next one he mentions is healings, the power to heal. Now, with some of these, the best way I can try to describe it is it's an intensification or a more potent version of what everyone can walk in, because any of us can believe for healing. Amen. We've got scripture we can stand on, that we're supposed to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. So this is a more potent form of that they have a ministry of ministering healing to other people, similar with working of miracles. That any of us can experience miracles. We should be walking in the miraculous. Salvation is a miracle. The fact that you can go from dead and on your way to hell spiritually to alive in a new creature, that's miraculous. And so we can build our faith and stand on the word of God and see miracles, but there's also a gift, a flashing forth of the working of miracles that is a higher potency or an intensification of miracles. And oftentimes it has instructions. It's the working of miracles. There's work that goes along with it. Like Moses, when he took his staff and parted the Red Sea. Jesus, when his first miracle was what? Turning water into wine. There was instruction. In fact, technically, Jesus wasn't even the one that did that. The servants were the ones that followed the instructions. They filled those pots with water, now dip some out and take it to the master's ceremonies. It was a working of miracles. The next one he mentions is prophecy. Prophecy is speaking forth a word from God. A lot of times when we think of prophecy, we think of telling the future, which it may or may not involve things to come, but it's speaking a message, something from God, that whether it relates to here's what's going to happen, which you start to kind of overlap maybe a little bit of words of wisdom, what's going to happen in the future, but it's a message from the Lord. This is different than the office of a prophet. This is someone as a flashing forth that God uses them to speak a word of prophecy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, it says that prophecy, this gift, is for edification and exhortation and comfort. So when people are operating with a gift of prophecy, what is it for? It's for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Prophecy is not to tear people down. It's not a spiritual means of attacking people and belittling people. And if that's the way that it's operating, I mean, I don't doubt that you're hearing from a spirit. It's just not the spirit that God is, we're talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The gift of prophecy is for building up, like when Mary came to Elizabeth. Remember when she was pregnant, she goes to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth begins to prophesy over her, but it wasn't predicting, you know, on his 15th birthday, you'll get him a yo-yo. You know, it wasn't like that. It was, she just begins to speak a word of blessing over her. Blessed is the mother of my Lord. Blessed are you because you believed what the Lord had told you. She starts to speak a prophecy over her to build her up and to strengthen her and to encourage her. So the gift of prophecy. The next one he mentions is discerning of spirits. Now, this is one where a lot of people say, I've got the gift of discernment, and use it as an opportunity to criticize. Yeah. It's not discernment, and you should have discernment. We want to have discernment. God can help us with discernment. I feel like that guy's up to no good. Well, you might have discernment. This is the discerning of spirits, that you have insight into the spiritual realm to know what's going on, what spirit is operating in a person's life. That person's operating with a spirit of fear, a spirit of infirmity, like Elisha, is it 1 Kings 6, 2 Kings 6, where he asks that his servant, there's an army surrounding him. You remember this story? And he's not worried, but his servant is terrified. And so he prays and he asks that, God, would you open his eyes so he could see that there are more with us than there are with them. And so he opened his eyes and he could see, man, there's angels all around us. There was a discerning of spirits to have insight into the spiritual realm, what's going on, discerning of spirits. The next one he mentions is the gift of tongues. Now, when it comes to tongues, there are different operations of tongues in our lives. One is the initial physical evidence. Once you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that you speak in other tongues, it reveals there's an overflow. You've received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Second one is what we talked about the other day, this prayer language that is available to all of us, where you can build yourself up. I just mentioned keeping yourself in the love of God, this prayer language that we can pray in all the time. This is talking about something different than that. It's a ministry that he gives you, a flashing forth where you give a message in tongues, and it's to be partnered with interpretation. In fact, if you read through 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, it says if you give a message in tongues, make sure that someone with the gift of interpretation is present. And if you give a ministry a message in tongues and nobody interprets, well, then it comes back on you, and you are to give the interpretation. Yes. So tongues and interpretation are two that function together. And Paul mentions that it's like prophecy, except God is using two people, kind of two parts to it, a partnering together. So tongues is a message in tongues that is to be followed by interpretation. That's the last one he mentions, is the interpretation of tongues. That someone speaks and it's like you know what they're saying by the Holy Spirit. And so you stand up and you give the interpretation of that message. And sometimes people will categorize these, group them differently. There's no necessarily right or wrong way to do that. Sometimes just kind of helps to remember and to sort them into three groups of three. You've got revelation gifts, power gifts, and vocal gifts. Gifts that help you know something, gifts that help you do something, gifts that help you to say something. So revelation gifts would be word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Again, it has to do with God is revealing something. You're seeing something supernaturally. Power gifts, the gift of faith, gifts of healing and the working of miracles. And then the vocal gifts where you say something, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. Now, that's a very brief definition with a few examples of those gifts. I can recommend some great books. We'll talk more about it in the future, about these gifts, but kind of a very elementary understanding of what these gifts are. And I want to take a few minutes to talk about some ways that we can begin to operate in these gifts. So one is simply to believe the word of God. Yeah. Step one, just believe what God's word has to say. And one of the things that God's word has to say about you is that you have a gift. Just simply to believe that you have a gift and God wants you to operate in that gift. One of the main obstacles or hindrances that keep people from operating in the gifts of the Spirit is doubt and fear, a lack of confidence. In Romans chapter 12, it talks about gifts that God causes to operate in people. It gives some different ones like administration and leadership generosity. But one of the things we can learn in Romans chapter 12 is that gifts are to operate in proportion to our faith. Gifts operate in proportion to your faith. So you can see that if someone has no faith that they have a gift, what will that mean for how much they use that gift? If you have zero faith that you have a gift, there will be zero use of that gift in your life. So to just simply believe you have a gift, you are gifted. God wants to use you with a special ability beyond your natural talents and abilities. Thank God for that. But there's something supernatural, a way or ways that he wants you to operate. So one is simply to believe that you have a gift. You are gifted. The second one is to ask God for that gift to operate. Ask God for gifts to operate. You're not limited to one. You have at least one. But it says in that passage we read, he distributes as he wills. Right. And at the end of that passage, in verse 31, it says, earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I'll show you a more excellent way. Earnestly desire. We've used this illustration before. Another translation says, earnestly covet. That is strong language. Very strong language concerning how we are supposed to approach the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say just be open to them. It doesn't say just be a fan of them, just to like them. It says to earnestly covet. So if someone said, hey, well, you know, I'm talking to you after service, I'm talking to another man, and he says, oh man, you know, I got to meet your wife. I really like her. She seems nice. I would say, yeah, oh, yeah, I appreciate that. I'll have to pass that along to her. She is nice. I like her too. But if he then said, you know, now that I think about your wife more, I earnestly covet your wife. Well, now we've stepped into a whole, like now we've got a problem on our hands because your level of desire and appreciation for my wife has just crossed the line that I'm not comfortable with. So I'm using that not to be crude, but just to show this is strong language. And a lot of times we think that we have qualified or we're there because we like, I mean, I'm open to it. I like the gifts of the Spirit. I think they're nice. This doesn't say think they're nice. It says earnestly covet. What's that look like? Holy Spirit, I've got to be used by you. I can't have those gifts lying dormant. I want to be a blessing to other people. Please use me in the best gifts, however you want to use me. I want to make myself available. Lord, whatever needs out of my life to make me more conducive for you using me and flowing through me. I want to be used by you, Holy Spirit. The way that you covet other things, you pursue them. You pray for them. If you were coveting a new job, what would you do? You'd pray, God, please open up the door. So the same approach to the gifts of the Spirit. God, I want the gifts of the Spirit operating in my life. So one, believe God's word. You are gifted. Two, earnestly covet, earnestly desire. Number three, stay in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Stay in fellowship, what we've been talking about. You're never alone. Stay in communion. Acknowledge him in all of your ways. What Pastor Jonathan talked about last week, learning to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because the more you learn his voice, the more you are in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you know his leading, then the easier it is for him to operate when he wants to speak a word through you or do whatever it is he wants to do with you, because it's not just some isolated thing where a unique situation where you're trying to be sensitive to him. You've lived in sensitivity. You're in fellowship with him. So stay in communion with the Holy Spirit. This next one I want to elaborate a little bit on, if you're taking notes. This is a key. It's a key really to the kingdom of God. So everything with the Lord, but it applies to the gifts of the Spirit as well. Keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. Another one of the obstacles that keeps people from stepping out in the gifts of the Spirit is fear. Perfect love casts out fear. questions that people have, hesitations, I'm gonna look stupid. What will people think of me? What if I look dumb? They're gonna think that I'm silly. When it's done in love, it's not about me. It's for the benefit of someone else. So it's not about what if people think about me. It's not about me. It's for someone else's benefit. So all those things lose their power to instruct, to control and kind of yoke us. When I don't really, if I have a word for Pastor David, he's going to think I'm dumb. I don't care about me. Love is selfless. So if I keep myself in love, then you know what? I can push me aside because this might benefit him, this might help him, or whoever. So forget me. That's the way that love operates. So love sets us free from those kinds of concerns. Love casts out fear. It liberates us to allow God to use us. Love makes us conducive. It makes us conducive to the Holy Spirit because it says he's given each of us a gift. Why? Not to make you a star in the church. Not to make you the most revered person in the body. It's for the profit of all. It's to profit other people. So it profits all. This is what's beautiful about the Holy Spirit. If you've been used in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, has it been a blessing to you? Absolutely. One of the most wonderful things is to know, man, God just used me. And he just spoke something to that person. And I know that it blessed them. And when it's a blessing to them, one of the sweetest things. But it's not just about you. It's a profit to profit all. So to forget about you and to care about other people, it makes you conducive to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Now, these obstacles may never go away. You might have to fight through this kind of thinking every time God wants to use you in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I was recently with a great man of God who operates strong in the gifts of the Spirit, very strong in this area, and I asked him about some of these obstacles. Do you ever worry? Do you ever think about? Is this ever a concern to you? You know what he said to me? This guy operates, I mean, he's a legitimate prophet in the office of a prophet. This was an encouragement to me. He said, every time. Every time. Every time he's gonna give somebody word, he's gotta deal with those things. And he said this, he directed me to Galatians chapter 5, where it says that the flesh always wars with the spirit. Yes. Always. There's always a war. The flesh always fights against the spirit. So if you are waiting to begin to operate in the gifts of the spirit, once all those arguments, once all that fighting, once your flesh is no longer an issue, you'll be waiting until this life is over because the flesh always wars against the spirit. You can diminish it. You can strengthen your spirit. But there, it says in Galatians chapter 5, our choices are never free from this conflict. You've got a dual nature. And as long as we have the flesh, there'll be some little voice saying, you're going to look silly. People are going to think you're dumb. What about this? What about that? And you have to learn to say, you know what? Just because I'm hearing that voice doesn't mean that I'm not hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit as well. Love also moves us. It moves us. Paul said that we are compelled by the love of God. So if you're wanting to begin to move in the gifts of the Spirit, to be sensitive to the love of God, this is a key to taking steps of faith and actually going for it and allowing God to use you, to allowing God's love to move you. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is right in the midst of this teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Obviously, right between 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14 is this love chapter. But 1 Corinthians 13 is not just given to us to be read at weddings by the weirdest cousin that you have, and he wants a role in the wedding. It's what I've learned by doing a lot of weddings. If they're having you read 1 Corinthians 13, it's because they felt obligated to include you in the wedding, and there was nothing else they could find for you to do. Just have them read 1 Corinthians 13. Sorry for those of you that have been the 1 Corinthians 13. But now you know. Now you know, okay? Someone had to tell you. Sorry, but that's why they had you read it. But it's not just for romantic husband-wife situations. It's applicable to that. It's a beautiful description of love. But in context, it's not talking about husbands and wives. In context, it's not talking about dating relationships. In context, it's talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation in a person's life. In fact, the last verse of chapter 12 says, "Now I'll show you a more excellent way." Not at the exclusion of the gifts of the Spirit. He's not saying, yeah, we got the gifts of the Spirit. That's one thing. But you know, it'd be better. Let's forget that and let's just walk in love. He's talking about a way to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, to do it in love. When you look at the life of Jesus, oftentimes you see a passage that says he was moved with compassion. Usually that it's a Greek word that can be translated compassion, mercy, or love. He was moved. He was moved, and after he was moved with compassion, it doesn't say, and then he just walked on. He was moved with compassion, and then typically there's a miracle that takes place right after. Now, did Jesus love everybody? Yes, Jesus loved everybody, right? But there are times where he'd look at a crowd of people, and he would sense the love of the Father for that guy, for that lady, for that situation. He was moved with compassion, and then he began to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, a gift of faith, or a word of knowledge, or something that, like that would follow him being sensitive. And you felt a similar thing, right? We love everyone. We all love each other, right? Just nod, even if you don't, just so no one thinks you're a jerk. We all love everyone, but there's been sometimes, and you felt this, you love everyone, you just become uniquely aware of the heart of the Father for that family. Man, I just feel the love of God. Yes. Be sensitive to that. Yes. Be sensitive. It's the better way to follow. Okay, but Lord, is there something you want me to say? What, Lord, I feel your love for that guy right now. Lord, I feel your heart for him. Is there something you want me to do? Is there something you want me to give? Is there something you're trying to do through my life? Take steps. You know, I'm a very, very amateur beekeeper. And you know, you get the honey and you spin it in the little thing, and then you got a little nozzle, you open up and the honey drains out. And I'd done that a while back, and then I was praying about the gifts of the Spirit. I'm no expert at this. I'm wanting to learn and grow myself. Praying about, Lord, how do I step out in the gifts of the Spirit? How do I sense your flow? And I kept seeing this in my mind, like this honey gushing out of this nozzle. I just kept thinking like I was just remembering. But as I'm praying more, Lord, I want to be sensitive to the leading of your Spirit. Just kept seeing this honey flowing out. But then the Lord used that to speak to me. I thought it was just kind of some weird thing. But, you know, the Bible talks about honey from the rock, and the rock that was, it was Christ, this sweetness that's flowing. So however you want to think about it, a sweetness, the flowing of rivers of living water, the moving of God's love, just to be sensitive, just man, the sweetness of God's presence. I just feel it on him, on her. I just feel the love of God, and then begin to take steps. Take a step of faith. Maybe you say, you know what? It's someone that you work with, and you see that guy every day. But today, you've been praying. Man, I feel the love of God for that man. Take a step of faith. Hey, can I pray with you? You know, that same man of God that I just mentioned, when he talks about the gifts of the Spirit, he compares them to headlights on a car that the further you go, the more that you see. So you take a step of faith. And maybe, hey, can I pray with you? Just be okay if I prayed for you. And as you're praying for him, maybe the Lord reveals something to you. Maybe the Lord gives you a word. You're the further you go, the more that you see. And maybe not, but if, you know, worst case scenario, you prayed for somebody. Yeah. Right? Right. Yeah. You prayed for somebody. You blessed them. Maybe that's all the Lord wanted you to do. Maybe that's mission accomplished. Maybe as you're praying, something you say in the prayer, God's revealing things. He's speaking to that person. You're saying something they needed to hear just to know, God knows my situation. He's aware, but begin to take steps of faith. Now, we want an environment as a church family where people can take steps of faith, where we can learn, and there's a measure of grace to allow sometimes for missing it, to allow sometimes for failure. And this is where maybe I'll upset a few people, because there's people on both ends of the spectrum. There's people that don't like talking about gifts of the Holy Spirit, the moving tongues, all that kind of stuff, because it makes them feel unsafe. They prefer just a very sterile environment. But then there's people on the other end of the spectrum that they want a spiritual free-for-all. Yeah. But neither one of those is scriptural, right? There's a structure. Yes. There's an order to the gifts of the Spirit. Yes. In fact, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, what he's talking about is bringing structure, bringing organization to the moving, the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. So you can have an environment that is so structured, it stifles the gifts of the Spirit. Yes. But you can also have one that's so free that it invalidates the gifts of the Spirit. Because it just seems like chaos and nonsense. And it doesn't. And he talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that you can be so undisciplined and unstructured that you can have people coming in just saying, these people are crazy. You're not getting ministered to. They think you're nuts. That's right. And so there's a structure that we have to have if we want to have that kind of environment in our church. Yes. And I believe that we do.
Yes.
So there, boundaries aren't to eliminate the gifts of the Spirit. They are to facilitate the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You can use all kinds of examples. In my marriage, there are boundaries. That's right. There are boundaries. That doesn't destroy my marriage. That actually enhances my marriage. If we just said, hey, you know what? Total freedom from now on. Anything goes. You do what you want to do. I do what. Under the guise of freedom, that would actually destroy my marriage. So boundaries help to facilitate, help us to function the way that God wants us to function. So let me give you just something very practical when it comes to, nice try, steal my water. When it comes to operating this in services as a church, because there's got to be some practical understanding, that if you have a word from the Lord, and a lot of times during worship, we're kind of lingering in God's presence, maybe somebody has a word, an exhortation, something they feel they want to share, what we'd like you to do is not just to begin to yell from your seat, especially with a group this size, it's hard to hear. You're gonna startle people around you as you start screaming, so if everyone can hear you, just to come and to check with me or one of the other pastors, say, hey, I've got a word, and we'll make room in the service. We'll allow you to, you know, to signal to Pastor Jonathan or whatever's going on in the service that you can actually use a microphone, or we won't. And that's okay too,
yeah.
Right?
Amen.
That if you're mature enough to operate in this area, yeah. You need to be mature enough also to receive instruction and correction, and maybe sometimes, hey, you know what? I'm not gonna have you give that word. And if that would happen, and this I don't know this has ever happened, so this is not like directed. This isn't anybody. But if you want to give a word, and I would say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to have you give that word. You don't gather your family and all your belongings and storm out angry and leave the church, because the grace that we want to extend to one another, you can extend to me as well. And to trust that, hey, we're doing the best we can. We're trying to, you know, maybe I missed it, maybe you missed it, but we're going to operate in love, right? And allow there to be, there's submission. There's submission in the body of Christ, and it's important to facilitate these kinds of things. And you can't out-spiritualize, and he begins to talk about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, with the subject of the prophet, or the spirit of the prophet is subject. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 32 says, remember, the people who prophesy are in control of their spirits and can take turns, for God is not a God of disorder. So you can't out-spiritualize the structure that God gives us. I just follow the Holy Spirit. Okay, well, the Holy Spirit gave us structure. You can't out-spiritualize the Word of God. You know, it'd be like if I said, hey, it's bedtime. You know what? I'm just following the leading of the Spirit. I feel like the Spirit's saying, one more hour. Well, you know, that sounds really good. I want my kids to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You know, that sounds like, man, what spiritual children, but the Lord gave you me as your father, and so I'm saying it's bedtime. And so you can't you know, supersede the Word of God by how spiritual you are, that he's put structure here for a reason. Again, it's not to eliminate, it's to facilitate. And there needs to be grace going both directions, right? So we try to make room, and it's happened before. You feel like you have a word, okay, let's go with this. And people have given words. Sometimes it's awesome, sometimes I'm not so sure. And that's what we're supposed to do. Usually when someone gives a word in the service, people start to clap, and I'll say, wait, hold on. Because it says when someone gives a word, then let the others judge. And not in a judgmental, like you're holding up, that was like a six. I've heard better. not that kind of judge, but just, okay, hey, if the Spirit of God is speaking, I've got the Holy Spirit. I'm sifting through. What is he saying? What is he saying? It's not, and I know people clap because they appreciate and they're excited about, but it's a time just to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Okay, what is he saying? What is he saying? I'm sifting through that. Man, this is an exciting time. It's that we get to be the church. Today is an honor.
Hallelujah.
It's an honor.
Yes.
Let me read you from Joel, the book of Joel. It's an exciting time, and it's just going to get more exciting. It's just going to get more exciting, better and better. Listen to what it says in the book of Joel, verse 23. It says, be glad then, you children of Zion. Be glad. Be glad. Anybody glad? Man, I'm glad I get to be a child of God. Be glad, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Now this is a prophecy, and we'll read a few verses later on here, is referred to in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost. But here it's talking about a rain that's going to come, and we know that water is affiliated with the Holy Spirit, right? Rivers of living water, a well of water springing up to eternal life. That there's different references that water is a picture associated with the Holy Spirit. We talked about this as a staff earlier this week. There's a rain coming. This passage says a time coming where it's going to cause the former and the latter, or some the spring and the fall rain to come at once, to come at the same time. Think about that. So however many inches of rain you get in the fall, however much you get in the spring, there's coming a time where it's going to both come together. It's talking about the move of God's Spirit. It's talking about what God is pouring out. And so a well of water springing up to eternal life, rivers of water, living water flowing out of us, all of that is subject to rain. Rain affects all of it. Rain really determines the level of a well, it determines the level of a water. So it supersedes that, a moving of God's Spirit, that what we read about, amazing moves of God, the moves of God's Spirit, you and I can anticipate something far more intense that makes what happened in the life of the Apostle Paul wonderful, but mild by comparison by the rain that God wants to pour out in the last days. Later on in Joel chapter 2, it says this, and it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also my maidservants and on my men servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. So Peter said that was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. It's talking about the pouring out, not just rain when it comes to their harvest, a moving of God's Spirit. And in the latter days, there'll be both rains pouring out on us today. I believe that we're in that time. I believe we're in the last days, that Jesus is coming back, that this is the time where it's available to us, but the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He won't force it on people. People can sit on the outskirts and they can miss out on the moving of God's Spirit. Or we can say, God, I want all that you have for me. I want that rain. In fact, listen to what it says in Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. It says, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. Think about it. I didn't even think about that earlier. It's the flashing forth of the gifts of the Spirit, that lightning striking, that charge being demonstrated, manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. He will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain. Grass in the field for everyone. So desire is a key part of it. In the time of the latter rain, God is looking for people that'll do what? Ask. Ask God, I want that deluge of your Spirit. I want you to pour out a double measure on my life, through my life, on this church, in our community, on the state of West Virginia. If this is the time of the latter rain, and I believe that it is, then it's the time for us to ask, God, I want that rain. If you're looking for somewhere to pour out your Spirit, how about me, God? I have a desire. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. That's what I desire, Lord, is a move of your Spirit. I want all that you have for me. Let me read one more passage of scripture from Psalm chapter 63. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. That kind of desire. God, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I'm looking for you. I want to see your power. I want to see your power. I want to see your glory. If that's you right now, just begin to lift your hands. Just begin to tell them, God, I want your rain. I desire you. I desire you. Pour out your rain on me. Lord, your word says in the time of the latter rain, ask. Ask for rain. Ask for very, very simple instructions. Hard to miss what we're supposed to do. Ask for rain. Lord, I'm asking you for rain. Pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit on me. Pour out your Spirit on me. Pour out your Spirit on me. Pour out your Spirit. Just begin to express that desire. Express that desire right now. Lord, I want your rain. I want your rain. I'm thirsty, Lord. I want to see your power. I want to see your glory. I want to see you move. Father, whatever you have in store for these last days for your church, I want to be a part of it. I want to play my role. I earnestly covet. That's what we're instructed to do, to earnestly covet. Just express that desire if that's you. I earnestly covet. I earnestly covet. I really desire you, Holy Spirit. I really do. I want you. Just take another moment. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I want your reign. I want your reign. I want your reign. I want your reign. Just your eyes closed, your hands lifted for another minute. I want your reign. I want the moving of your Spirit. Have your way. You know, the Bible says deep cries out to deep. Deep cries out to deep. When I was in sixth grade, I went to this outdoors camp. It taught us how to shoot a bow, shoot a gun, use a compass. And they brought in this old timer, an elderly gentleman, and he had the ability with a piece of wood, a winnowing stick, a little piece of cherry, or I think it was, to hold it in his hands and to walk back and forth. When he would go over water, that stick would bend. He was demonstrating, oh, you could dig a well here. There's water flowing here. Just a winnowing stick. It's the sensitivity. Just to know there's something flowing here. There's something flowing here. I've had that image in my mind all week. It's a spiritual winnowing stick. There's depth here. There's a hunger here.
Well, that's this week's message. Thanks for joining us. To stay connected with us throughout the week, make sure you follow us on Instagram and Facebook. You can also watch previous week's services on our YouTube page.